Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America party. We're going to open up with the theme, The Phantom of the Opera, tonight, because pretty soon we're all going to be American phantoms. At the end of this song is a very high note that the soprano sings. You just remember that note, because that's the one you're going to be singing when you see all the new taxes that are going to be levied upon you. You're going to be singing Down on the Levee. And you know what? You'll be beating your feet on the Mississippi mud because you'll have no shoes.
The opera is there. It's time.
My first tribute tonight is to the people of Kuwait. And why am I having a tribute to the people of Kuwait? Because they know how to pay bills. And they know how to save money. And maybe we should have a Kuwaiti parliament instead of this this treasury rip-off team that's turning Washington into the caves of Alibaba. Kuwait Fund for Future Generations. In 1976, the government established the Reserve Fund for Future Generations, into which it placed an initial $7 billion. It resolved to invest 10% of its revenues annually in the Reserve Fund. How's your Social Security doing? Money from the fund, along with other government revenues, was invested in overseas property and industry. I remember when the Kuwaitis bought a little island called Kiowa Island off of the Carolinas. And I also heard a story when I was in Kuwait about the fact that the Kuwaitis put their money in a bank. I don't remember which one. But they told that bank, okay, that they did not want anybody to know that they had invested money in this bank, that they had put their money for safekeeping in this bank. And if the word got out that they were had funds in this bank, they would withdraw them. So what do you think happened? This is a story that was told to me by a Kuwaiti. And a girl who worked in this bank had a boyfriend. And you know how that goes, you know, pictures on the internet after the breakup. Well, she leaked that information to the boyfriend, and the boyfriend leaked it to the press. And the next day, according to my friend, the Kuwaiti, the very next day, the Kuwaitis showed up at the bank and demanded that their money be transferred. How's that for losing an account from a big mouth? Could you imagine if Chuck Schumer had known? He wiped out a bank in California just on a rumor. And the same guy told me another story. I'll just share it with you. There was another bank executive who wanted to meet the Sultan of Brunei. And he went through a whole bunch of politicians, and he smeared a few boys. And they finally set him up with an audience with the Sultan of Brunei. And in he goes, he's ushered into the presence of the Sultan of Brunei, and he started to tremble, and he said, and the Sultan said, yes, and he was dumbstruck. And then the interview was over. They just took him out, wiped the drool from his chin. Yeah, some people just can't stand up under pressure. Especially when you see billions of dollars going out the window, like what's going out the sunroof of the White House. Okay, so back to Kuwaiti investments. In the 1970s, most of these funds were invested in the United States. 1970s, we're talking here. So in Western Europe and the United States. In German firms such as Hecht and Daimler-Benz, in each of which Kuwait owned 25% in property, and in the most of the United States Fortune 500 firms. In the 1980s, Kuwait began diversifying its overseas investments. And I got to tell you something. One thing I worried about while we're giving all this money away in jihad taxes, this oil money, okay, that one day that the OPEC would come to us and say, we don't want dollars anymore, we want euros. You think about that. There's one gun to your head. And the Chinese are already trying to do something. They want to go to a different currency, okay, for the whole world. The one world order, and the United States is on the bottom? Yeah. Let me tell you something. You know how you can tell you're losing your country? When you go to register your address and they ask you for your country, if you got to go all the way down to you for the United States, those people are working against you. The United States should be up at the very top, and if you can't do it in alphabetical order, put up the number one while we're still number one, which would now on time and materials. We may not be number one too much longer the way we're going. Okay? So, as Obama bombs, and it's not Obama, he's a fall guy. Everybody knew this was coming. You want a theory? What do they call those conspiracy theories? The big boys on Wall Street. They knew the United States was going down, and they couldn't have a white guy left holding the bag, so they got Obama elected. How's that for a conspiracy theory? Yeah, put it with the Kennedy assassination. Okay, so Kuwait was earning more from these overseas investments, and they also placed investments in Japanese firms, and they were earning more from the overseas investments than it was from the direct sale of oil in 1987. Foreign investments generated U.S. $6.3 billion, oil $5.4 billion. Now, you think about that. Kuwait's revenue in oil in 1987 was $5.4 billion. And what's the United States spending here by the minute? The entire oil revenue of Kuwait in seconds? You think about this when they start talking billions and trillions. These people have no idea what they're doing. The inmates are running the asylum. By the late 1980s, was earning more. Okay. The Financial Times of London estimated Kuwait's overseas investments in early 1990 at more than $100 billion, most of its reserve fund for future generations. And what are you hearing here in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, according to the politicians who destroy it every day? Time to get rid of both parties. Fire everybody. The government just got rid of a CEO for General Motors. It's time to get rid of the government. I'm telling you, fire them all. Get all new crooks in there. We want a fresh batch of crooks. I wouldn't leave one there. I'd send them all home packing. And the next thing I'd do is I would make special interest groups off limits in the United States. You have to do it offshore. You have to go out the six-mile limit to meet a congressman. And we can keep an eye on him by submarine. We can eavesdrop. That's probably the only place we're safe today. And we don't have to worry about Al-Qaeda wiping us out with a nuke. We're going to do it financially ourselves. The Financial Times of London, I said that. The Iraqi invasion proved the importance of these investment revenues. With oil revenues suspended, the government and population in exile relied exclusively on investment revenues. I was in Kuwait right after the liberation. They had old Kuwaiti dinars stacked in rooms. Rooms full of old Kuwaiti dinars. The local people, they went to gold and new Kuwaiti dinars. And the government was buying back the old Kuwaiti dinars. Everybody made a buck. Everybody made a buck but Uncle Sap. But the Kuwaitis did pay for half the Gulf War. So, I won't go into the rest of it. I think it cost $61 billion to fight the Gulf War. And the Kuwaitis paid about $36 billion. And the Saudis probably picked up a heavy part of the tab, too. And I was surprised. A couple of European countries coughed up. I don't think it cost us anything except the blood of our most precious blood, and which was very little, thanks to George Bush, who promised to bring the troops home. That's Bush Sr. And, I'm not going to do the letters. W or who's what, H. Forget about it. It's Junior and Senior. It'll always be Junior and Senior to me. Okay? And I got to tell you one thing that I always say. Democrats get you into war, and they leave you to die on the battlefield. And beware the move in Afghanistan. It's not that it's not the right move. It's that the Democrats are running it. And every time Democrats run a war, they leave Americans to die somewhere in the world. And if you don't believe me, ask the guys that came home from Vietnam. Ask them who promised never to run again. LBJ. Kennedy got us in there, and LBJ said he would never run again, and he didn't. But he left 58,000 dead on the battlefield. And it took Nixon to get us out. With all his faults, he got us out. And he's a Republican. And how the left hates Nixon. And speaking about how the left hates Republicans, never forget the day that George Bush went overseas as his first trip overseas to Europe as President of the United States. The press came in and they warned, they antagonized Europe to get ready for Bush. The New York Slimes called for a jihad against Bush when he landed in Paris. Okay? They even brought to the communist talk shows here, like Marine Killing MSNBC, they brought French diplomats over here to tell the American people that everybody hates Bush. Nobody likes Bush. I listened to it, and they set him up almost for an assassination. By the time he landed there, he was the most hated man in the world. And our own media did it to him. The communist media that elected Obama in his pajamas. Yeah, Obama bin Laden. God help us. And I'm telling you, you watch this Afghan war and make sure the Democrats don't kill too many of our sons. They're going to kill some. They already did. The body count is higher than 561, which was Bush's official record upon leaving office. Anything over 561 is on Obama and the Democrats, who have been in power for over two and a half years. The Iraqi invasion proved the importance of these investment revenues. With oil revenues suspended, the government and population in exile relied exclusively on investment revenues, including sales of investments for sustenance, for their share on ongoing coalition expenses, and for the post-war reconstruction and repair of the vital oil industry. While these funds were depleted to $40 to $50 billion after the war, they are currently estimated to be around $80 billion. And the article was taken from 2:48 a.m. to B-Sides. Kuwait Future Generations. The government has sponsored many social welfare public works and development plans financed with oil and investment revenues. Among the benefits for Kuwaiti citizens are retirement income, marriage bonuses, housing loans, virtually guaranteed employment, free medical service, and education at all levels. Kuwait also provides fully paid scholarships for students wishing to study abroad. Kuwaiti government also will send citizens abroad for treatment if the treatment is not available in Kuwait. And you know where they come? They come to the USA. Foreign nationals, while the coming is good, until Obama screws up the medical profession. Wait till they seize the medical profession. Today they're into automobiles. Yesterday they were into banks. This guy is faster than Hitler going to Czechoslovakia. Foreign nationals residing in Kuwait obtained some, but not all, of the welfare services, the right to own stock in publicly traded companies, real estate, and banks, or a majority interest in a business is limited to Kuwait citizens and citizens of GCC states under limited circumstances. You cannot own land in Kuwait. It all belongs to Kuwaitis. Nobody can come in there and buy land. Kuwaiti citizens and residents, you ready for this? Enjoy 0% income tax. And that's why I'm saluting the Kuwaiti people, because they know how to take care of each other. And here, we, the land that has oil, won't drill for it. We, the land who has more minerals, more resources than any other country in the world, with maybe the Soviet Union that's too corrupt and doesn't know how to mine, and how to, and there's too much greed and corruption in the Soviet Union, but we're following, we're on the same road. And the Kuwaitis take care of each other. And when I was there back in 93, if you got married, you got $100,000. For every kid you had, you got $15,000. I was on a plane with a guy who was flying to Washington, a Kuwaiti, flying to Washington to go to the embassy to complain that he wasn't getting expense money for college. And you know who paid for his ticket on the plane? The same people he was going to complain to. So I told you, right? For every kid. Now, that when they want to buy a house, they get a loan to buy the house. And they get a mortgage. And at the time, when I was there, after 3 to 4 years, the government forgives the loan. Future generations funds. And what do we have? We're hocking our unborn children. If we don't kill them, we're going to tax them. If we don't take them to the Democrat franchise chop shops, we're going to tax them if they escape the torture of pro-choice. And I hear Savage tonight, he's saying the Fort Knox has no more gold. They're going to have a picture of it. Now they're asking, where's the gold that was in Fort Knox? Let me tell you something. If it comes out that there's no gold in Fort Knox, don't even watch Wall Street Week. Yeah, media executions. Speaking of media executions, I got to give a tribute to Mike Savage. Mike Savage is the only one in America that stood up for the four police officers that were gunned down. He's the only one talking about it. He's the only one telling the circumstances. And there's something that bothers me from what he reported tonight. He rescinded the story that the guy shot the two cops as he come up from the sunroof of the vehicle. And what he says now, according to the reports that he got, is that the one cop got shot in the neck. And that the parolee, okay, the parolee who was released by the Liberal Party or the Communist Party of North America, chased the other cop down. I don't understand this. How could the other cop not stand and pull his gun? But he chased the other cop down and shot him in the back of the head, then shot both of them again in the head. Okay, and there's no story on how we got the SWAT team guys, which never should have happened. Never should have happened. So there's something wrong, you know, there's something wrong with the training for the San Francisco police. It's not for me to say. God knows what I would do under those circumstances. God knows, but if your partner's getting shot, how can you run away? That's scary, and maybe I don't know. I can understand it, and I don't blame anybody using force of arms in a combat situation. We're all in God's hands, but give that perpetrator the ability to kill two cops. There's something wrong there, and we're not getting the story, and there is a media blackout on it, and Mike Savage is raising money for their families. He mentioned that one guy had six kids. One guy was a bachelor. One guy has a four-year-old daughter. And the other guy has three kids. And those are all good lives that were ruined by a ward of the Democrats. A cultivated killer that was developed and brought online by the Party of Death and the ACLU and the rats who are tearing this country apart. So let me break for a song, and then when I come back, we'll talk some more. I did a 2-day tribute. I don't know if you could stand it, but I did a musical tribute Sunday night. So if you want to meditate and say a little prayer for the families of those GIs, those policemen, feel free to see my requiem. Listen to my requiem. I don't know if you see this kind of commercial where you live, but here in our local TV station, there's always this one commercial, and it's a lawyer, and he's getting on a corporate jet, and he's flanked by two beautiful babes, short skirts, big bassoons. And the commercial goes something like this. Hi, I'm with the attorney, the law firm of Flakem, Fleesem, and Flockem. And if we'll go anywhere and any time to defend you and give you your day in court. And right now we're just finishing up the defense of a guy who got a traffic ticket. And it was a $15 ticket. And honey, Miss So-and-so, are we sending the bill of particulars out to the client? To go say, yeah, yes. How much is it? $78,000. Said, did we win that case? No, we lost it. All right, send him his $15 back. Take it off the $78,000. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. We got to kill all the lawyers. And there's another a lawyer commercial, and this is a New York lawyer, and And he's a typical looking a New Yorker with a big head, and he's got a cowboy hat on. Now, you can walk up and down my borough here, and you might find one guy that wears a cowboy hat, and his nickname is Crazy. And this guy's dressed in a suit, and he's got a cowboy hat on, and he's a New York lawyer. Now, let me tell you something. If you're watching commercials, and you see the guy with the cowboy hat, who looks very timid, okay, and you see the other guy getting on the plane with the two babes, who do you want defending you? Okay. Let me just take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll talk about the more serious issues.
Hang in there, boys and girls, and we'll go to part two. I didn't realize it was going to end so quickly. I was doing something else. Oh, man. Okay, let me see where we are. Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to do Jamie Meets 100 Men.
I'm back. Before I go into this, I just wanted to mention one thing to you today. I had a guy come to see me. He's a Coptic Christian. He's an Egyptian. And I was just comparing notes with him, you know, how his religion compares to ours. And I was surprised to learn. I said, do you guys have confessions? He says, and this is what he said. He said, yes, we confess before we take the blood. How's that? Okay. He's talking about receiving Holy Communion, taking the blood and the body of Christ. There are 25 million Coptic Christians in Egypt. And at one time, all of Egypt was Christian. And then the Muslims came along and ruined it for everybody. And I said, how does it work? You know, how did they manage to, well, he said, you could either, if you want to be a stay a Christian, when the Muslims come, if you want to stay a Christian, you have to pay a tax, or you have to have your head cut off. I said, well, that's a no-brainer, right? You paid it. Give me, how much is the tax? Yeah, okay. Unless it's like a United States taxes, then you say, cut my head off, because I'm already working three jobs. Yeah, okay, so I just wanted to let you know. And I'm a little soft on Coptic Christians. I'll tell you why. I was in Kuwait, and we were at a Catholic church, which cannot have a cross on the top. But they are allowed to have crosses cut in the door. And the Indian working population there, the Christian Indians, man, you want to see people worship God, it would shake your very soul. You think you were going to a rock concert. There's so many attendants. They come in 115 degree temperatures to stand, to kneel in a parking lot because the place is packed. A cathedral, a whole cathedral is packed. And we happened to go there during the week to say a prayer. And Bedouin and his wife approached us. And the wife had a brand new infant in her arms. And the infant had a feeding tube in his nose. And the Bedouin who spoke broken English, no, he didn't. We had a Muslim friend with us, and he did the translation. And the Bedouin said, and you got to know about Bedouins, they're called Bedouin in the Gulf countries, and they're looked down upon. They're like considered second-class citizens. And they have their own culture. But when Saddam Hussein came to Kuwait, it was Bedouin in the desert who helped the Kuwaitis escape to freedom. So, of course, they did it for money, which is the primary mover of people. You could get a fair shake from Badoon. Bedouin told my friend, my Muslim friend, because I don't want you to think I'm anti-Muslim. There are good Muslims. He was very disappointed with his own religion, especially when he's seen what the Iraqis did to Kuwaitis. And I'm sure he was my guest at the windows of the world when he came to the United States. And he looked down. We sat at a table, and he looked down through the clouds and said, "Mr. Tom, this is the happiest day of my life." And I told the waiters it was his birthday, and all the waiters came out and sang happy birthday to him. It wasn't his birthday, but I do that all the time. And my daughter had a girlfriend who was very shy, and she said, "Tom, whatever you do, Dad, whatever you do, please, don't say something that will upset her. She's very shy. She doesn't even want to be noticed." I says, "Okay, no problem." And then I told the waiters it was her birthday. So, but anyway, my friend, they came out and sang happy birthday. And then after 911, my son brought me home a piece of the window of the towers and a candle that survived. And I thought to myself, I wonder how my Kuwaiti friend feels now as he watches those towers come down. I wonder what his heart is saying to his soul. But anyway, and I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that he must have felt some pangs of conscience. And I remember a Lebanese girl crying in downtown New York, apologizing. She was apologizing for 911, and it wasn't anything she had to do, but she felt so guilty because she was an Arab. She was a Muslim, and she knew who had done this to us. And I sent her a little note saying, "We are all Americans." Anyway, the woman with the baby with the feeding tube, she told my friend that they had the baby in a hospital, and the reason that they brought the baby to the hospital in Kuwait was because when they were in Egypt, they walked close by a religious ceremony that was being performed by Coptic Christians, and she felt that the Coptic Christian priest put a curse on her child, put a curse on her. And she was there to see a priest to get the curse removed. And that's the mentality that you're dealing with in the Middle East. How people can be easily convinced of things. So the priest happened to come out, and he removed the curse. What else was he going to do? Was he going to debate with her and tell her that there's no such thing as a curse in our religion? We don't do that. He did what was right at the time for the mental stability of the woman. And it was very sad. Okay, and so having said that, and I also feel that it was the Coptic Christians who gave shelter to Jesus, Joseph, and Mary in Egypt when they did the Hijra. So having said that, I just wanted to mention it to you because we got a lot to learn. I'm going to lighten it up now, and I'm going to tell you about an article by Jamie Rhein, R-H-E-I-N. I don't know who she is, where she's from. I suspect she works for one of the communist news media that took over Great Britain which is not so great today. Okay? I mean, they're just getting around to allowing royalty to marry Catholics after 325 years. Yeah, when they were kicked out of the club because Henry VIII wanted a girlfriend. Yeah, the founder of the religion, right? A religion that forbids divorce was founded on a divorce. That's what they teach in Catholic school under the topic of how to hate Protestants. Yeah, and now we're all the same. We're all Christians. Yeah. No, I'll always be a Catholic. My father's Irish, my mother's Scotch. So you could call me a Roman in the gloaming Catholic. 60 British soldiers. This is what this witch wrote. Okay, she probably works for one of the London newspapers over there, the Telegraph or the Daily Worker. 60 British soldiers, some bent on boozing, booted from plane. Now, are you going to tell me that all 60 British soldiers were bent on boozing? There wasn't one guy having a cup of tea? Of the 60 British soldiers from the 2nd Battalion, Duke of Lancaster's regiment, who got on a plane ready for a holiday, not all of them had their own booze with them with the prices they got. Not all of them were already sloshed when they headed up the aisle to take a seat and determined to drink more, even if it meant drinking the alcohol that they had brought on board with them. The flight attendant, you see, didn't think giving these lads another drop was a good idea, so she feigned ignorance when asked if the cart had any libations. When those who forgot their manners said they would drink their own then, she begged to differ. It didn't help when one of them smarted off with, "You're not going to stop us from drinking our own booze. We're trained to kill." Yeah. "Good one, guy," that's what she says. I can just see her thinking, "Oh, now you've gone and done it." The result of the nonsense was that all 60 soldiers were removed from the plane, a feat that involved getting the other passengers off the plane as well, unloading all the luggage, having the passengers pick out theirs, and then reloading the non-soldier passengers and their luggage back on the plane. If she was on that plane, I think she was ticked, because she's an important person, and time and tide do wait for her. Kind of makes me tired thinking about it. I'm sure the passengers were relieved that they wouldn't have to live through a flight like those who had the misfortune to be on a flight in January with 40 drunk Irish guys. So you can see, she's an equal opportunity offender. First she ranks on her own, and then she goes after the sons of the Gael. The military is not too happy with the men who caused the problems and claim they are sorting the bad apples from the ones that just happened to be in the barrel with them, thus having their leave spoiled by idiots. Charges haven't been filed yet. No, maybe there are a few fellows cleaning bathrooms with toothbrushes. I've seen that in the movies, and that's what you see, right? And you saw Hollywood actors playing guys who fight and die for America, but the Hollywood actors never fight and die for America. They only sell it out. Not only that, this year they're into drug training. You can get all kinds of heroin education from the movies, from Hollywood. You can learn, everybody's smoking weed in the movies now. Have you noticed that? That's the in thing. They're doing cigarette commercials. Yeah. Captain Boycott replies, this is yours truly, "I'll drink to that. Be glad they weren't Al-Qaeda. If they were Russian soldiers, everybody would have been carried off, not to mention rape and pillage, including the pilot. While we are profiling, let's get everybody. I wonder if it takes only 40 Irish guys to finish off what it takes 60 Brits to do. A bartender, I'll have champagne, and give Jamie a full glass of Ripple. Let her stop making ripples on the pond of life. Did you know 6 pints of Guinness equals 1 birth control pill? You did not make any promises you cannot keep, did you? How can you tell if you've been in a bar for 6 days and nights? Your socks are wet. Jamie needs to be on a plane with a fallen comrade escort, and Jamie needs to be at Dover Air Force Base when the incoming coffins land in the American flag that 48 communist senators have voted to burn. Jamie needs to match 1,000 civilian legs to a torso that has been waiting for identification since 9-1-1. Jamie needs to jump the turnstile at Paddington Station. Jamie needs to buy a round. The reason these guys are in uniform is that Jamie needs protection from Khalid the Virgin Counter. Jamie needs to read Kipling's Barracks Ballads, where Rudy says, making fun of uniforms when they're going large a bit, and that's what it is, Jamie, is 10 times better than parading in full kit. Oh, it's Tommy this and Tommy that, and Tommy owes his soul, but it's thin red line of heroes when the drums begin to roll. Welcome them home, Jamie, and don't spare the kisses. Who knows? You may lock lips with a prince. Bartender, and nothing for her, she is driving. Men to drink. Play her the song, A Pub with No Beer. Coming up on the Spirit of America, Part 3. How you doing, boys and girls? Today is Tuesday. Spring is trying to creep in. But there is a terrorist watch in Fargo, North Dakota. Everybody is hoping that Al Gore will drop in to be pitchforked. Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, so our president took off today, and he went to Europe to lick the ankles of his European masters. Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it? I want to be like Europe. Yeah, where were you in 1776 when nobody wanted to be like Europe? President, say no to cars, Obama has designated the House and Senate to handle future warranties, as he destroys the remnants, the last overpaid remnants of the American car and automobile industry. Obama has now become the CEO of General Motors, in addition to his other duties. And he has promised the American people not to worry, he's going to handle the warranties. So I just dropped off two tires at Chuck Schumer's house for repair. I need them plugged. Yeah, and Christopher Dodd is running a special on the AIG tune-up in Connecticut. Barney Frank gives Greece a new meaning. The Kaiser of California refuses to pump a 10W-40 from the sea. Yet he takes a 49-state welfare program for his Sacramento lemon. Hey, doesn't Sacramento mean sacrament in Spanish? Wait till the commies find out. They will be changing that city into another St. Francis of the Sissy town. Pretty soon America will be on the used country lot with no trade-ins. And the DNC junta has seized the banks and the automobile industry. And next comes the farms. Yeah, they're going to send the Pinkertons to drive you off your farm. Here is food for thought. If you drive the manufacturing industry overseas, like Uday Pelosi did to Kaiser Steel, then the only thing left there to squeeze is the corporate office. How soon before headquarters moves to a corporate-friendly nation? Dubai has some nice free trade zones. Exxon would be treated better by Sheikh Maktoum than Chuck Chavez Schumer. Come on, what would Exxon do with 100 years of no taxes? AIG has already moved and diversified, squirreled American tax dollars into European nests. All they have to do is hop a plane and keep all the bonuses. Yeah, and then we'll be asking for governments to give them up. And the governments won't do it. The Europeans won't do it because we have the death penalty. Yeah. And speaking of the death penalty, there was once upon a time, there was a football star who hacked two white people to death. Yes, it was a racial incident. And one of them was his wife. Of course, after you kill them, they're the ex-wife. After you put a big X in them. Anyway, he was found innocent by a jury of his peers and an Oriental judge who was selected so as not to offend whites or blacks. But he got off the hook when he was allegedly guilty, and the saying was, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit, but the Bruno Mollies don't count. Yeah, it should have been if the foot does fit the shoe, you cannot acquit. But anyway, because he enraged the American public, the government had to step in and make an example of him. So after he was free, in his own recognizance, they finally managed to get him. First, they got Martha Stewart, and then they got O.J. And the way they got O.J. was, they gave him life in prison for stealing baseball cards. The fact that he sliced and diced two people had no bearing on it, but steal one baseball card. So, where was I? So, if we find and harass the big American business, and forcing them to find a new home for the last 40 years, who can blame them if they pull up stakes? We can all go green as China vents and spews lead made for USA products. What will we do when China and OPEC stop taking green? Be careful what you give away, G-Man. That's the G20 conference that's coming up. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of Belgians waffling there. We can Meanwhile, we are giving financial aid to the UN, who wants to cast lots for the America's cloak. For the UN that doesn't pay its traffic tickets in New York. For the UN who has diplomatic immunity and can smuggle anything into the country in diplomatic pouches, including anthrax, bubonic plague, cocaine, and nuclear weapons. So, we're giving financial aid to the UN who wants to hurt us. Boy, we could sure use the $8 billion we gave to the Turks and not to let us land in northern Iraq. You remember that? A heavy armored division sat in the Straits of Bosphorus, waiting to offload, and the Turks gave Saddam Hussein 10 days to get his weapons of mass destruction out of the country. So he sent them to Syria, with the help of the Soviet Union, who now wants us to give up our currency. And you know what they you know what their saying is, why they want us to give up their currency? If they'll fall for it, why not? In America, they look at Obama and they say America can fall for anything. How about the Hamas money? Or all those containers of condoms we sent to Africa? Carrying water, hey? Now Uncle Sam will use utility companies to collect taxes. There goes my muffler in front end. Can someone tell me to Congress Mouse Wiener's house? Now is the time to put In God We Trust on Pepsi cans, in case the deposit goes to $5. Brilliant tax strategy. What will they think of next? And you know what? You know what the principle behind it is? It's the money-back guarantee principle. Nobody wants to go through the paperwork, so they don't use the money-back guarantee principle. And the 30-day free trial, everybody loses track. They don't even remember where the product is at the end of 30 days. Coupons that you'll never use. These are all giveaways. And one of them is deposits. And I guess the rule of thumb is everybody that puts a deposit on a can or a bottle, if there's 1 million cans and bottles, only 500,000 come back. So the government is ahead 500,000 in tax revenue, but they don't call it tax revenue. And they use the supermarkets to collect their taxes. And they use the utility companies to collect their taxes. And who do you get mad at? You get mad at the utility company. You don't get mad at big, greedy, Jabba the Hutt, Uncle Sam. Now is the time to put In God We Trust on Pepsi cans, in case the deposit goes to $5. Did I tell you I'm building a toll booth for the state of New Jersey on wheels so it can ride alongside you? I can get it up to 180, not miles per hour, just in tolls. Tune in tonight and bring your own beer to cry in. And that's another message of the day. Bartender, is champagne. What it's all about.
You ain't got no money, they will put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. If you had prepared 20 years ago, you wouldn't be a wandering now from door to door. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
Here's a thought for today. What happens to Junior when Dad loses his job? Why are colleges not tied to the cost of living? Yeah. I hear Michael Medved complaining about the exorbitant costs of colleges with overseas campuses and all kinds of happy horse crap. And I remember a generation, if they wanted to go to college, they had to kill a German or a Jap, and then they would get the GI benefits. And Harry Truman had to give up his own career to go work his father's farm for 10 years before he resumed politics. What a guy, huh? That's when Americans were Americans. Now we can't even get two Americans to speak the same language. Yeah, we're doing fine. Everything is hunky-dory. I had a grandpa in. He's complaining that kid wants a cell phone that costs $400. His grandson wants a cell phone that costs $400. So he and his wife just got new cell phones, and they gave the old one to the grandkid. And he said, no, this isn't what I want. I want the $400 one. And I said, yeah, don't feel bad. I stepped outside a place the other day, and in the parking lot was a guy with a souped-up car with rap music playing, white rap music. And he's playing, and he's waiting for his chick, and he's got $1,200 wheels per wheel. He's got four of them on the car, and he's looking cool. And I said to myself, and he's blocking other people from getting in and out. And I said to myself, you know what? Junior, you better pray your father never loses his job, because if he loses his job, you're screwed. And it's going to be sad. It is really going to be sad when Americans start saying, fire the Mexican and take me. I wouldn't take that job before, but I need it now. Yeah. And don't think that's not going to happen. Here's late breaking news. Governor Kathleen Sebelius has just paid back $7,000 in back taxes due to unintentional errors. I could tell you a real quick story. Many years ago, when people made 10 or 12 grand a year, we were called down by the IRS for too many medical bills. We had a daughter who had hyaline membrane disease, which is the same disease that killed the Kennedy kid, Patrick Kennedy. And our daughter survived. Thank you, Lord. And because she was separated from her mother at birth and taken to another hospital for special treatment, the John Hancock people refused to pay the medical bill. I was always told I had the best coverage. And every month when I sent my premiums to Big John Hancock, I felt safe. And then, of course, when you need them, they're never there. Yeah. And they usually send somebody out to take a sworn testimony that they can use against you in court as you're trying to get your claim paid. That wasn't the way it used to be years ago. You had confidence in insurance companies. Today, you trust no one. You can't trust no one. You can't even trust your own lawyer. He's looking over your assets to see what he might get for himself. But anyway, so the medical bills in that year came to $6,000. And that was a red flag for the IRS. Exorbitant medical bills. Please, we get the notice. Come on down to 26 Federal Plaza and bring all your books and records. Bring all your receipts. And we sat down with a gentleman, and he went through the $6,000 worth of receipts. And we were short. You ready for this? $23. And he said, you know what? The IRS doesn't send out a bill under $25, so you can forget about this. And the next year, on our income tax return, they took out the $23. And here's a governor who's $7,000 with errors. And the only reason you know about it tonight is because she wanted to beat the whistleblower. Yeah. If you're in the government, you don't have to pay taxes. Only the little people pay taxes. I'm surprised they didn't elect a Fiona Hemsley and make her president. She left everything to a dog. See what love can do? All right, so hang in there, and we'll do some more fooling around. You see, France, China, and Russia, and all the others who hate us, they want us to give up American currency and go to an international currency. That's another ploy to get In God We Trust off the dollar. I got a better idea. Let's do this. Let's print new American dollars. And instead of saying Federal Reserve note, we'll say interstate money. And it's only good traded in the USA interstate. And it's backed by gold. And then the other money is for outside the United States, and we'll call that play money. Yeah, and that'll shut them all down. Hang in there. I was watching World War II footage of the Japanese germ warfare experiments. And a unit, what was it, the 271? I think that was the name of the outfit. And they had more bubonic plague than was needed to destroy the entire Earth. And I think the only reason they didn't use it is they thought that they might lose the war. So somebody got cold feet. But they found out that they could get fleas. They could drop fleas and bombs. And the only problem was when the bombs exploded, the fleas would die. So they made the bomb casings out of clay. And then when the bombs exploded, 80% of the fleas survived, all carrying bubonic plague. Isn't that nice? Aren't you glad we won the war? You could be an experiment in Manchukuo. So, I just thought I'd tell you that to cheer you up. And you know the Nazis were working on dropping an A-bomb on New York City. I wonder who picked up their plans. You think Al-Qaeda has those plans now? And the problem with dropping the A-bomb on New York City, the pilot that dropped it would have to ditch in the sea and be picked up by submarine. He couldn't return home with low fuel. And if you want to see God's hand in winning a war, tell me how we managed to break the German code and the Japanese code. Now, the German code, I could say, well, I can understand. But breaking the Japanese code? How is that possible? See, that's what happens when you take care of God. God takes care of you. You give him the cold shoulder, he'll give you the cold shoulder. You'll get global warming. All Inspector is trailing in Pennsylvania. A guy named Toomey is running against him. And Toomey should have beat him the first time out. But George Bush supported All Inspector. And All Inspector is a flag burner. He joined. He switched sides to vote to burn the flag. He's one of 8 Republican senators who voted to burn the flag. Another one was Lincoln Chapstick. Remember him? Looks like alfalfa. Who else is there? Oh, this one will really get you. The guy that married Cleopatra, he voted to burn the flag. John Warner, and they all hail him as a great senator. He's nothing. Absolutely zip. Zip. Zipper. And he married Cleopatra. He married Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah. He got the booby prize. Yeah. Unbelievable. And who else? You ready for this one? The one that nobody will tell you about? It's the biggest cover-up in American history? A conservative voted to burn the flag. You know who he was? Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson. And John McCain wanted to make him a Supreme Court judge. How's that? Isn't that nice? Yeah. So I say get rid of all of the Democrats that are in the Republican Party. Throw them all out. And if you don't want to do that, then I tell you what we got to do. If you can't, you're not going to beat the Democrats. If you can't beat them, join them. Let's all leave the Republican Party and we'll all become Democrats or Democrats. And then we'll drive them nuts. We'll take over the party. Won't that be a fight and a half? There'll be 3 Republicans left in the Republican Party. And all of us will be Democrats. And won't we have fun? Yeah, the Democrat Party is at it again. They're fighting amongst each other. Hang in there. To the faculty and students of Obama Step On Down High School, that's Notre Dame. On behalf of St. Thomas More and all the martyrs and saints, including the 1,400,000 cherubim and seraphim, butchered every year in Nazi American chop shops, those mini Dachau's, supported and expanded by the Party of Death, I call upon you to take down the statue of our Blessed Mother, who you have scorned by your pro-no-choice government encouragement. In its place, you can put up an academic Obama logo. The founders and students of a once great Irish Catholic university must be doing 7,800 RPMs in their graves tonight. and I see a seat in the hall. The cover of their magazine has a picture of a an artsy chick. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? It looks more like the cover of the New York Times, a Sunday magazine. And I turn the first page, and there they are welcoming a professor, a new professor who used to teach, who used to work at the New York Times in the international section. Oh, how great. Yeah, the only, I'm surprised they don't make Pinchy Salzberg a dean of discipline. There will be no cheers for Notre Dame in heaven from this day on. How soon communist conditioned minds fail to recall the sacrifice of those who went before us, when priests under the pain of death held masses in Irish roadside ditches, when God and man joined to protect the smallest hand. And now we're pulling them off. I've got my Coptic Christian friend checking with his Egyptian counterparts to learn the name of the town that the Holy Family fled to when King Herod was performing abortions under the pro-choice doctrine. Yeah. And he promised me he would find out. So when he does, I will let you know. And he says there is a tree called a St. Mary's tree, which was there at the time that Jesus came to Egypt. And he says it's a huge tree. That's something, isn't it? A 2,000-year-old tree. Isn't it funny how God creates things? Oh, you believe in the Big Bang Theory? There's no God? Yeah, well, I got bad news for you. Every Sunday, I meet with the Big Banger. Let me find a tune for you. We'll make your day. You want something sweet? Have you noticed how quick the Democrats are to give all kinds of aid and support to education? If those were all conservative kids coming out of those universities, they wouldn't get a thin dime's worth of books. But as long as they're little Marxists are coming out and taking their place in the world, we can all suffer the consequences. That's a game that kids will play in the future. Remember when America was great. And the motto of the House and Senate should be, "A Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm surprised the state of Connecticut doesn't offer sanctuary to crooked senators. Yeah, the Sleepy Hollow. These guys actually believe they're getting over on the American people, that nobody sees through them. They actually believe that. They're like, they remind me of me when I used to sit in class and having not done my homework. And when the teacher called on me, he said he can't call on me because I'm invisible. I think it's time we go back to the future. It's time that we brought back 50s intelligence. If somebody asked me what was the prime of the United States, I would have to say the 40s and the 50s. That's when we had, when men were men, and there was no such thing as divorce lawyers. And you get a look, you just got to watch the History Channel, and you can see what men really look like. Not this Hollywood version of the misfits of America. Unbelievable. What a disgrace. Yeah, pretty soon we're going to have the three major ingredients for disaster. And no God, and no country, and no money. Everybody's waiting for the rebound. What are we going to do? We're going to make widgets. This summer, instead of touring Europe and floating down the Rhine, go to France. Go to Normandy. Go to Belgium, visit the grave of George Patton. Go to Anzio, visit the graves of the boys who fell at Anzio. Go to Iwo Jima, visit the graves of the guys who died so that you could sit around and complain about secondhand smoke. And you could testify against thy neighbor. Yeah. Go visit Gettysburg. Go visit Bunker Hill. Go visit Cowpens. Yeah. No, I don't mean Hollywood. Yeah, and stop watching that Hollywood crap. It's no good for you. It's going to poison your mind. You're going to start believing all that garbage. Heroin is not good for you. Heroin doesn't make you stronger. Marijuana is not good for your lungs. If you're going to do marijuana, do it in suppository form. And share. You got people in Mexico killing each other to sell you drugs. You see how sought after you are? We'll be right back.
give my heart to you. Will you handle it with care? Will you always treat me tenderly? And in every way be fair. If I give my heart to you, will you give me all your love? Will you swear that you'll be true to me by the light that shines above? And will you fly with me when I'm sad? Oh, smile with me when I'm glad. It over and be sure. Please don't answer till you do. For when you promise all these things to me, then I.